Now, if you're listening to this, chances are that you love Mexican food. And I know that because just about everyone in America loves Mexican food. 25 years ago, we found out that Americans spent more money on salsa than they do on ketchup. And a study last year revealed that Mexican restaurants are the second most common kind of restaurant in America, edging out pizzerias. So this week, we want to take a look at some of the ways Mexican food looks and tastes and feels in America today. Now, what we don't have is a full tour of Mexican food across the country, and honestly, you might be a little appalled that we don't have a story from the Southwest or from Chicago, for that matter, but that's kind of the point. Because there are so many stories to tell, and so many ideas of what Mexican food is in America, there's no way we'd fit them all into an hour, or maybe even to a lifetime. But we're thrilled about what we do have. A fascinating story about the restaurant that inspired Taco Bell, a chat with a chef on how to make tacos with whatever you have in your fridge, a conversation about Mexican food in a surprising corner of the South, and there are bourbon marinated carnitas involved, and a pastry chef gives us a masterclass in flan. But if you want to talk about Mexican food, you kind of have to start with a tortilla. In its industrial form, you know, a tortilla is basically an edible plate or like a super handy glove made out of food, which, you know, I'm not really gonna knock, but if you get to the heart of a great tortilla, if you get to taste real corn and feel its chew and how it gives everything you eat with it a grassy taste of earth, well, then you're talking about something special. You're talking about tortillas as they were meant to be. Now, Jorge Gaviria is obsessed with tortillas as they were meant to be. He's the head of a company called Macienda that's all about supporting people who grow native varieties of corn in Mexico and using traditional methods to make truly delicious tortillas here in the U.S. So Jorge's here to tell us about what makes a tortilla great. So Jorge, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Francis. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I have to ask you a question, and that is, I'm sure you know this guy, I know this guy, everyone knows this guy. The guy who always, like, every time you have a pizza, he's like, well, you know, the crust is the best part of the pizza. Like, that guy is always, he always has to say that, right?
Right.
So why is it that no one knows anyone who says when you have a taco, well, the tortilla is the best part of a taco?
You know, I think fortunately that's changing. And we have a lot of people to thank for that. You know, a lot of chefs have been doing a lot of hard work to sort of elevate the merits of a humble tortilla. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that, you know, it's what's so fascinating about a tortilla, right? It's everywhere. I mean, this is a $12 billion industry in the U.S., which is
seriously,
it's a lot of tortillas, right? But nobody really understands where they come from, or I should say a majority of folks in the U.S. don't understand the history of it, or that this is a food that honestly it's sort of like an OG superfood. It's been around for thousands of years, and I think honestly catalyzed, you know, an entire civilization to existence, right? And yet, yeah, to your point, it's kind of an afterthought. It's yeah. Like it's kind of a throwaway piece, even though it's actually the foundation to the entire dish.
Yeah.
You know, I think a tortilla to me is it's this ongoing challenge. It is something that is sort of at odds with industrial agriculture and industrial food. We have really kind of changed what a tortilla looks like in the last 50 years pretty significantly to the point where we almost don't recognize it anymore.
What do you mean?
Well, in the sense of, you know, tortillas, like I said, have a really long history in the world and a deeper significance than I think most folks will ever understand. You know, the original tortilla comes from corn that ultimately requires this alchemy process called nixtamalization. Mm. Nixtamalization is a mineralization process. It is the process of a essentially indigestible piece of corn, mm-hmm. field corn, sitting in an alkaline bath for a number of hours, which is what imparts all of the sort of the natural nutrition that's found in each corn kernel. And it also breaks down the pericarp or the skin of the corn kernel, mm-hmm. the kind of thing that gets stuck in your teeth after you eat popcorn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that, and that sort of not only makes it more digestible, it makes it easier to mill, it just breaks it down,
okay.
is also rendering it nutritious in the process.
Yeah. So it actually like unlocks the nutrients, which
right.
otherwise our bodies can't access.
Exactly, exactly.
So once you've nixtamalized corn, I understand, then you grind it, and that's kind of it, right? It's water and corn, and then the lime used to nixtamalize it, ground into dough, into masa, and tortillas are made from that masa.
The best tortillas are made from that kind
the
of
best
masa.
Tortillas
exactly.
Are made from that masa.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the difference between the best tortillas and the less than best tortillas?
You know, this is part of what I find so fascinating about the industry is that we found all sorts of shortcuts to that 12 to 14 hour nixtamalization process, right? And we found shortcuts to the milling process in order to make this as quick and convenient as possible and as cheap as possible, which there's real merit to. You know, value is an important thing.
Sure.
But it's come at the expense of, frankly, the natural nutrition in this very traditional process of nixtamalization and making a tortilla from scratch. And it's also come at the expense of flavor. You know, sourcing then makes such a big difference because you can't just really taste any run-of-the-mill yellow two commodity corn, right? Like, you ideally want something that has a little bit more character, that's actually bred for food.
Mm. Most, and not like efficiency
or cattle feed or anything like that. So, like, basically, you know, we're really kind of sharing a lot of these same varieties and just using it and reappropriating it for food, even though it's not really designed for food. It's designed for high yield, high starch, and kind of industrial products.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I generalize here. There are always exceptions, but, you know, by and large, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, what we really want to focus on, I think, is like the pleasure that you get from something that tastes good and that nourishes you. And I knew there was something missing from tortillas in the U.S. And so when I went to Oaxaca to do research on this, you know, I grew up in full transparency. My mom was born in Mexico, but I come from a predominantly Cuban family.
Hmm.
So my main starch was rice. Hmm. And, you know, I fell in love with tortillas in that first experience when I got to Oaxaca and realized, you know, the kind of nourishment that I was missing. And it's grounded in two things. The first is sourcing, understanding that, you know, not all corn is created equal.
Sure.
You know, the second piece to it is going back to the recipe itself, you know, this process of nixtamalization and stone milling. And really, there's no science to it. I mean, there is a lot of science chemically, but from a perspective of, you know, a recipe, this is something that's, it's an elusive art.
Mm.
And so that's really the thing that I think differentiates, you know, an okay tortilla from a great tortilla is the attention to detail to those two factors.
And you brought a bunch for us in a little electric comal. So
yeah,
let's taste
yeah. This is a Mexican crepe maker. but yes. Okay, so I brought samples. The first is Guerrero, which is owned by Gruma. It's the largest tortilla behemoth in the world. They pretty much, if you've ever had a tortilla in the United States, most of it's probably been made by these folks.
Oh, wow.
I brought then also a local option, which is actually made up in Newburgh, just up the river from here in New York City.
Okay.
And I brought a Macienda tortilla. Now, what differentiates the Guerrero tortilla from the local tortilla is not much, except for the fact that one was made locally and one was made in probably a plant somewhere in the central United States.
And so now Jorge has these tortillas on this little griddle, dry, no oil, and he's just kind of, you know, twisting them and flipping them occasionally. I'm watching because I'm curious about your method for reheating a tortilla also, because when I reheat tortillas at home, I do this dumb cook thing, which is like, yeah, get color on it. Things taste better when you get color on it. And then I take it off. I'm like, oh, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, yeah. There is no right way to heat up a tortilla. There's a way.
Thank you
that
for being judgment free.
Yeah, but I really, there's enough judgment in the world. We don't need to judge how we make a tortilla. But my favorite way personally of reheating a tortilla is to just gauge how moist it is first.
Hmm.
You know, if you feel like it's on the drier side, adding a little bit of water on both sides is the secret that I've found to reviving any tortilla that seems dead.
Oh, cool. You have a little spray mister.
Yeah, I've got a little spray mister, but like, I could even, yeah, exactly. So yeah, just give these tortillas a little spray. I mean, the moisture that's been lost in the distribution process or just from the tortilleria to the store or wherever you're buying it,
sure.
You want to just rehydrate that a little bit. And so I do a little bit extra so it steams. And then as it's drying out on a really, really hot dry pan,
mm-hmm.
When it's finishing, it'll sear. So it'll get kind of the best of both worlds. It'll lock in moisture in the center of the tortilla, which is nice, so it's pliable. But it'll also give it the kind of the nuttiness on the outside from the sear.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I do actually. Do you want to taste these? Awesome. So
I'm just sitting here and like, when are you going to hand me one?
So when I'm evaluating what makes a really good tortilla, the other really important part to look at is the ingredient deck. So, I mean, if you just look at this, I mean, this is the local company that I was mentioning.
Yeah.
You know, local has a really, really great connotation, but when you look at the ingredient deck, it kind of loses all the romance, right?
Sure.
If you're talking about like corn masa flour, propionic acid, benzoic acid, guar gum, cellulose gum. And these are tastes that most of us, and myself included, I was so accustomed to. I expected a tortilla to have that kind of bitter quality to it. And so it wasn't until I kind of retrained my palate to understand, oh, my gosh, like this should
That's
taste
not
a totally
naturally
different
part
way,
of the deal,
right?
Yeah.
And then we're talking about the actual look of it. So if you're looking at a white tortilla, one of the things you want to look at is like the whiter it is. Like if it is almost like, I mean, what's the whitest thing? Like if it's like iceberg white.
Like Moby Dick white.
Moby Dick white. It's not naturally that way. Color can be deceiving, but I'll just say on the white spectrum, if it's this white, it usually means that you've got a lot of acidic products in it that are actually bleaching it, believe it or not.
I can actually smell.
You can smell
the acid, and it's like it smells tart in this bag right now.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And that's one of the industrial ones.
Right. Yeah. It's enough when you open the bag, you can kind of smell sort of that really strong kind of acidity and like kind of an acrid smell. Mm-hmm. When you're actually heating it up, you'll be able to get the greatest sense of it. And all of these are pretty much par cooked. Most tortillas are about like 80 to 85%. So to your question about reheating, you always want to reheat a tortilla.
Yeah.
A cold tortilla is not
fun.
No bueno. Not good. So I give you sort of the two Maseca options here.
Okay, these are the industrial ones.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, man, like I'm smelling it. It smells a little bit like weirdly like a fresh baked brownie, like like in a very strange way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I love a tortilla and this smells and tastes like the tortillas I know.
It tastes like a tortilla, right? Like if we were none the wiser, it's like, all right, this is great.
Yeah. Okay, so that was like one of the industrial tortillas, and now I'm going to taste one of the Hacienda tortillas, like from original corn.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only is this a nixtamalized corn tortilla from scratch, so this has taken about 20 hours to make from scratch.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, like wine, like, you know, terroir, anything that's growing in the ground has terroir. Corn does too. And Mexico has about like 10,000 years on the United States insofar as how long it's been growing corn. So it's, you know, it like makes sense that it's going to taste better at that origin.
All right. So I know you're leading the witness a little bit, but I mean, visually, I can see a little bit of that more yellow color. It's a little bit of a richer color. Smelling it off the griddle, I don't get any of that sort of sourness. It smells like there's someone grilling food off in the distance. And if I was really going to be super picky about it, it almost tastes like a really good piece of grilled shrimp that it sounds so weird to say it because it doesn't taste like shrimp, but
right.
It evokes some of that toasted shell flavor. I don't even know where this is coming from.
Crazy person. It's sort of like I totally hear what you're saying. It's sort of like that natural sweetness that you find in shrimp.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with this. I mean, we're talking about a corn variety that this particular one is called Olotillo. Mm. We fell in love with this because of its naturally high oil content. So there's sort of a lingering. What's really cool about this is that when you really start to pay attention, you start to realize that the flavor will be left sort of in your mouth for a lot longer on your palate because of the natural oils. You know, your mouth is literally being coated by oils that aren't present in commodity corn. So it's not actually that far off that you're talking about shrimp, right? There's sort of like a natural sweetness to it that's definitely present.
That's wild.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Thank you so much for coming in today, Jorge.
Thank you so much, Francis. It was really a pleasure.
Jorge Gaviria is the CEO of Hacienda. Now, whether you're using heirloom corn masa or just the masa flour called Maseca you can find in a grocery store, we have a great recipe for fresh tortillas you can make at home from the chef Alex Stupak. You can find that on splendidtable.org.